Come on now, gather round, glad you could join us. Spreading some love to start your morning. No shame in my game. I just wanna praise his name. Living free but not in vain. Where would I be without his grace? Glad he chose my life to save. My life to save.
Hey, 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 happy Monday. Welcome to another episode of Life Unapologetic with Athena. I'm so happy to have you here with me today. I want to welcome all my faithful listeners. Hey, share the podcast with your friends, like it, subscribe, and give me a thumbs up, 5 stars, and a comment. I'd be so appreciative. I'd be so appreciative, y'all. I want to welcome any new listeners. Welcome to the tribe. I'm so happy to have you all. We are currently doing a series on hearing God's voice. We did episode 1 last week. And there's so much content that I had to break it up. And so we're going to do Hearing God's Voice episode 2 this week. And we were leaving off on how God is just really calling the people that love him back to hearing his voice and back to really spending time with him. And we were talking about how when we come back to God, we were talking about Psalms 81, verse 11 through 16, and how God promised that he would eliminate our enemies and that he would protect us from things that would rise up against us. And we were discussing how he would give us the finest things in life and that he would provide for us the best of the best, just to hear his voice, just to spend time with him. And so I wanted to jump back in and really talk about how hearing God's voice is necessary to develop an intimate relationship with him. We know that when Jesus died on the cross and that when he rose again from the dead, that he went back to heaven with God. And the Bible says that he sits at the right hand of God interceding for us, but that he sent the Holy Spirit to be our teacher, our guide, our comforter, our advocate, and our standby. And it's really through Holy Spirit how we get to know emphatically, how we get to know Jesus and God on such a deeper level. And so hearing God's voice is just absolutely necessary for us to develop that intimate relationship with Jesus and with God. And so we really want to look at what does that look like. And so as I was doing some studying, there were a couple of things that I wanted to go over. One is to convey effectively the truth that God desires to speak to every believer. Really just want you guys to know that God's desire, his heart is to talk to us. A lot of times we think that God only speaks to people who are holy or people who are living good or people who do everything to the best of their ability, right? And that if we don't fall within those guidelines, that God doesn't talk to us and that we have to go to someone else to hear from God on our behalf. And that's just not the case. God really desires to talk to each and every one of us. It's just us learning how to get through the static to hear from him. And so, you know, it's my prayer through this podcast to really be able to give you some insight on that. And we know that last episode I discussed my Spiritual Growth Academy, OMG. I'm just so excited. We had our first class last week and man, it was just a phenomenal, phenomenal class. It's just so exciting. We had such a blast. And, you know, right now we are in the pilot and we're rolling it out to a select few of women who got a free scholarship to the academy. Whoop, whoop. And so after the pilot is done, then we're definitely going to open up to a select community. There will be an application process and then we will go from there to make sure that you're ready and that you're a good fit for this particular academy. The other thing I want to look at tonight is to build the faith and confidence and expectancy within us that we are able to hear the voice of God. How do we build up faith and how do we build up confidence and that expectation to be able to hear God's voice? The Bible says it's impossible impossible to please God without faith. And so when we're thinking and we're desiring to hear the voice of God, we have to have faith and believe that, first of all, he wants to talk to us. And second of all, that it is possible for us to actually hear from this God, this invisible source that we know has created all. Sometimes that can be difficult, especially in our situations. And so we really want to look at that tonight. We also want to look at how do we get equipped with the necessary gifts, the necessary skills, wisdom, and knowledge and understanding so that we can recognize and discern the voice of God. There is a science to it. There is things that we have to position with in order to live a life where we're connected and listening to God. There's so much that goes into our maturity and our growth spiritually, but it really takes us being responsible and going after how do we develop ourselves spiritually? How do we mature? Also wanted to look at how do we activate the 9 gifts of Holy Spirit in our lives so that we can minister to people, that we can pour into people. We know that when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, that we have access to the 9 gifts of the Spirit. And, you know, there's words of wisdom, words of knowledge that we can tap into. There's prophetic words that we can tap into. There's healing and miracles. There's great faith. There's speaking in tongues. There's interpreting tongues and discernment of spirits that we're able to tap into. And so we're going to hopefully get to some of that as we go through some of my key points. And so the word of God says, God's sheep hear his voice, and a stranger they will not follow. And if you're really a true Christian, if you're really an individual who loves the Lord, you will desire to hear his voice. It will be something that is just within you. And so we can see this demonstrated in the Garden of Eden. When God spoke freely to Adam and Eve, walking in the cool of the day, that they desired to talk to God in that time, and they desired to be with him, and he desired to be with them until the fall happened. And we know that story of eating the infamous fruit. But God has since then really tried, and we talked about this last episode, really tried to rebuild this broken relationship between us and him. We know that he had fellowship with them. He communicated with them, and that he considered Adam and Eve friends. Not only was this a true garden, I mean, a beautiful, beautiful love story in this garden, but also throughout history, God has tried to have fellowship with us. And I talked about that last episode where God has built all of these different covenants to try to keep relationship with us, to have fellowship with us. And it's been through fellowship that God has tried to nurture and love and guide us. Even when we didn't want to listen, if you ever had those experiences where you knew that something wasn't a good idea or a place wasn't a good idea to be in, and as a result, you left that place, that was God really trying to nurture and guide and protect you. God has also invited us to partner with him in advancing his kingdom throughout the earth. And this is something that I'm really trying to do with the Spiritual Growth Academy and the women that I'm pouring into. This is something that I'm trying to do with this podcast, is really, really, really advance the kingdom of God. That comes by speaking about the word of God. That comes by teaching others about the word of God. That comes by preparing others to do a work in the earth for the Lord. And I am really huge on doing a work for the Father. If there is nothing else that we should do, that we should build a legacy on taking back the dominion from the enemy that is rightfully ours. Jesus died and raised from the dead and now holds all power in his hand to take back full dominion from the enemy. And through Holy Spirit, we have been given access to the power and the authority to do so. And it's time that we take our rightful place. It's time that our lives go back in order. It's time that we're not manipulated and deceived through situations and circumstances. It's time to take our stand. And so intimate fellowship with God is the foundation of our Christian experience. That is the ultimate goal for us who are called to worship and to follow and to interact with Christ. It is an intimate relationship. That is the foundation. Out of relationship comes all of these things that we talk about. Out of relationship comes hearing the voice of God. Out of relationship comes operating in the gifts of God. Out of relationship comes knowing the right decisions to make. That's where it starts, relationship. What does that look like practically? Well, the Word of God says in Psalms 1 to meditate day and night on His Word. And then it gives a promise that we would be blessed and that everything that we put our hands to within the will of God for our lives would prosper. And so practically for me, what that looks like is I get up in the morning at 4 a.m. and I have prayer. I turn on a worship song. I worship the Father. I repent for things that I may have done, things I didn't even know of. And then I talk with Him. I commune with Him and then I sit quiet. And so in the evening, what does that look like practically? I do what I need to do and then I come and I sit down and I study my Bible or I read a book, that is biblically based and calls me to, go through the Bible. Right now I have a binder of about 800 pages that I'm learning about the principles of God. And this is some material that I'm going to be using for the Spiritual Growth Academy to add to the curriculum. And so I'll come and I'll read a few pages of the material and study really the theology of the Bible and the Word of God. And so much time when I'm in my study time with God, I'm getting downloads is what I call it. I'm getting words from God. I'm hearing God's voice on how to build the academy, how to create additional services, how to create different material. And so I break my time up practically like that. Twice a day, I make time to be with God, but in totally different ways. One is praying and communicating. The other is communicating, but more of study, really seeking Him for strategy and direction, whether that's my life, whether that's my ministry, which is also my business, right? My nonprofit. And so God desires that intimate relationship. Jesus came to earth to offer us so much more than religion, so much more than religion. He invited us to be friends. He invited us to be heirs to the kingdom of God. I mean, if we really get that, if we really get that God did not send Jesus to the earth for us to have to do all of these routine things to consider ourselves Christians or saved. He didn't want us to be robots. He didn't want us to have to follow all of these steps to feel like we're in the in crowd. That's religion. And that was the old covenant under the law of Moses, where if you read the book of Deuteronomy and Leviticus, there were all of these step-by-step things that they had to do to be sinless. And there were all of these sacrifices that for every different thing that could ever be done wrong. And so it was more of this performance that they had to do, which fell under that rule of religion. And it really just built off of that. And God is trying to get us away from that and really get us back to true relationship, true relationship. Christianity is a personal relationship based on fellowship with God, period. Paul stated this when he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, God is faithful through whom we are called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. God is faithful through whom you were called into fellowship. It didn't say whom you were called into religion. It didn't say whom you're called into performance. It didn't say who you are called to practice all of these different things. It said fellowship. When I go to fellowship, when I go to hang out with my friends, when we, before the pandemic, there was no performance. We just hung out. We talked, we laughed, we cried. We were angry. We were happy together. And it was just fellowship. And it was a building and a cultivation of relationship that is just priceless. And God wants that for us with Him. The grace of the Lord, it says in 2 Corinthians 13:14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Paul says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are under the dispensation of mercy and grace, and the love of God and the fellowship, that's friendship, of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God wants us to be in relationship, in fellowship with His Spirit, which is Holy Spirit. So we see in these two verses that the Greek word for fellowship is koinonia, which means fellowship, communion, intimacy, partnership, association, and contact. I want to break these down. We have fellowship, we have communion, we have intimacy, we have partnership, we have association, and contact. When we look at fellowship, the dictionary defines fellowship as a companionship, friendly association, a mutual sharing as of experience, activity, and interest. When you're fellowshipping with somebody, there's a companionship. There's a joining of coming together. There's a friendly association. I'm friendly with you. I'm not against you, but I'm for you. I want to know you. I want to interact with you. There's a mutual sharing. There's a mutual sharing of thoughts. There's a mutual sharing of emotions. There's also a mutual sharing of materialistic things, whether I'm taking you somewhere in my vehicle or paying for lunch. There's activities that we do together based on our common interest. So we are called to be friends with God. We share experiences, we share activities, and we share interests with Him, just like any other person. If we really look at it practically, we're just doing the same things that we do with our friends, even now via Zoom. We're just fellowshipping, right? And so when we look at communion, the dictionary defines communion as the act of sharing one's thoughts and emotions with another person or other individuals. Intimate conversations, intimate relationship with deep understanding. Wow. When we're communing with someone, we're having intimate conversations. We're really getting past the superficial conversations. We're getting deep into who we are, our complexities, our good and our bad. When you have a true relationship with people, and it's not in the context of sexual, you can be intimate with someone and be really comfortable with sharing everything about you and confiding in this person because there's a level of trust. So you begin to commune with this person and hold these really intimate conversations of all of your insecurities because you trust this person. You build this intimate relationship with this deep understanding of who one another is. We are called to share our thoughts and emotions with God. We are called to share our thoughts and our emotions with God. I love that. To know His thoughts and His emotions. The Word of God says that He gives us access to the mysteries. Holy Spirit gives us access to the mysteries of God through intimate relationship. We begin to know His thoughts. We begin to know His characteristics. We begin to know His heart for His people. I mean, we are literally called to have a heart-to-heart conversation with God, literally. We are literally asked to share His heart. We're literally asked to know His heart. How does that look practically? That's called words of knowledge. Words of knowledge is where God really impresses upon us His heart for another person, place, or thing. He really tells us what He feels about a person, place, or thing, and He gives us an assignment to do something about it. And usually it's to deliver a word to someone. So then He gives us words of wisdom so that when we deliver that word with divine wisdom, that is it is effective to that person, that place, or that thing. The next one is intimacy. The dictionary defines intimacy as pertaining to the most inmost character of a thing, the most private or personal, closely acquainted or associated, very familiar. I love this. I want to be intimate with God on every level, because if I'm intimate with God, I'm definitely going to know what to and to not do in my life. We are so called to know the secrets of God. The Word of God says it all throughout the Scriptures. We are called to know the secrets of God. We are invited to the council of the Godhead. And we know the Godhead is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's God who is the Father. It's Jesus who is the Son. And it is Holy Spirit who is here to help us walk through this life. And so because we are called to know the heart of God and to have intimate relationship with Him and to commune commune with him and interact with him on his interests. That is such a powerful gift. Then there's partnership. Partnership is defined as a person who takes part in some activity in common with another or others. It is associate one of two or more persons engaged in the same business enterprise and sharing its profits and risks. Oh my goodness. Each is an agent for the other or others and is liable, except when limited to his or her own investment for the debts of the firm. I love that. When you are in partnership with God, you benefit. There is no risk in God because God is God. He's created everything. So while manly partnership has downfalls in some areas or may even crumble in other areas, when you partner with God, there is no downfall. He's God. He knows everything. He ain't gonna get surprised by nothing. There's nothing that can surprise God because he's created everything. He's all knowing. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He's everywhere. He knows all. He is everything. Everything is encompassed in him. And so why wouldn't you want to partner with a God who knows everything, who is alive? He is the only true living God. Every other God that you see with the lowercase g, the Buddha and all of these other statues, they're just that, statues. You go into a nail shop and you see that fat Buddha sitting at the door. Guess what? That fruit ain't getting eaten. It's rotten and they got to change it. Why? Because it's not a living God. It's a figment of a person's imagination. It's something that was crafted and made by man. You don't see nobody crafting a statue of God. Nobody. There is not a statue of God nowhere. There may be pictures of Jesus. There may be pictures of what they thought Jesus looked like in the flesh. But when you look for God, the true living God, no one can even create a statue of who he is, because you can't even begin to fathom the true identity, the true look of who God is. Who wouldn't want to partner with such a living, true God who made the heavens and the earth, who causes it to rain and the sun to shine, who brings the gentle breeze when it's too warm? Who wouldn't want to serve a God like that? I'm sorry, but sign me up. Sign me to the up. We are called to partner with God and advance his kingdom. Period. Period. If you're new to Christ, get at me. I'll teach you all about it to catch you up to speed. But for those of us who are caught up to speed, we are called to do a work in the earth. We are called to build the kingdom of God. We are called to build the kingdom of God just like I'm doing on this podcast. We are called to build the kingdom of God just like I'm doing in my Spiritual Growth Academy. We are called to build the kingdom of God like I'm doing in my Unapologetically Unashamed community. We are called to do things that allow people to know who God is. Whether that's in our jobs, whether that's in our cubicles, whether it's having a smile on our face, whether it's talking positive to people who are talking negative, we are called to build the kingdom of God and to show the world who God is, to show the world that God is yet still alive. So good. We then have association. It's defined as a connection in the mind between ideas, sensations, memories, the use of such connection as a literary device or psychological or psychoanalytic technique. Now we're getting so deep with this one. Listen, to be partnered with God in association would mean that we are able to share the mind and the ideas of God. We are able to share sensations with God. We are able to share memories with God. To have a connection on a psychological level. Listen, sign me up. Sign me up. You tell me how many relationships you've been in where you had these deep connections and it benefited something. Listen, I've been married for 20 years and it took about 20 years for me to feel any type of connection that built into something. Why? Because I was young, I was human, and I was acting in emotion. But when it comes to God, there is no downfall. There is no stretch of time to get it together. God can help you to know the very thing that you need to know in the very minute that you need to know it. That's what it is to share his mind, his heart, his very sensations. I don't know about you, but I want that. Jesus said that if you know him, you know the Father. That's in John 14:7. Jesus was an exact representation of who God was in the earth. When he walked the earth, he showed you who God was. He said, "I only do what I see and hear. I only do what I see my Father do, and I only say what I hear my Father say." He was that connected. And so we get confused when we think of Jesus. We think, well, it ain't fair. He's Jesus. He's the Son of God. He came from heaven in the flesh as a human, but he had all this divine power. No, he did not. When Jesus came to earth, he came to earth just as a man. He sat in the sanctuaries and listened and asked questions just like we did. Just like we did. He obeyed his parents. It stopped at about age 18. He obeyed his parents. You can read it in Luke. He became subject to his parents. But as he became subject to his parents, and as he began to seek out the things of God, even though he was a carpenter with his father Joseph, he waxed great in wisdom and favor of the Lord because of his stance and hunger for God. He had to mature in the spiritual things just like we do. And then we see him come on the scene in his 30s, and he had to be baptized just like we did. And after he got baptized, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, descended on him like a dove and remained with him. Why? Because he remained connected to God. He remained listening for God's voice. And immediately after he was filled with the Holy Spirit, he went on a fast, 40 days and 40 nights. This is why God says some things only come by prayer and fasting, but you can't give us to give up a hot dog, to turn over a Pepsi. We can't let go of the things that please our body, but Jesus did. Why can't we follow that example? I don't get it. Fasting and prayer brings clarity. Fasting and prayer breaks the static. Fasting and prayer brings faith. Fasting and prayer brings hope and expectation in the things of God. And most of all, fasting and prayer brings clarity to hear the voice of God. It did it for Jesus. It can do it for us. The last one is connect or contact. The dictionary defines contact as the act of state of touching or meeting. The state or fact of being in touch, communication, or association. Wow. Listen, in our relationship with God, please, we are to feel his presence. We are to sense his touch. We are to connect with him and feel him deep in our emotions. How do we do that? Well, just like we have five physical senses, we have five spiritual senses. We can hear in the spirit. We can see in the spirit. We can smell and taste in the spirit, and most of all, we can touch in the spirit. And so when God's presence comes into a room and we've practiced those five spiritual senses, then we're able to feel his presence. We're able to discern the spirit of God. This is why it's one of the gifts. It's not only the discernment of spirits of evil, spirits within our environments, but it's also to discern the spirit of God. To discern the heavenly host of angels who come to give us direction, who comes to minister to us, who comes to protect us, who comes to guide us as well. Come on. That right there, that's enough right there. I could end the podcast right there. Those were good to me. So if you don't seek nothing else, seek fellowship with God. Seek to commune with God. Seek intimacy with God. Seek partnership with God, seek association with God, and seek contact with God. If you seek after God in those areas, you will hear his voice. You will hear his voice. So we're going to move on. True fellowship is based on two-way communication. We're going to get into this, okay? We're going to get into this. True fellowship is based on two-way communication. We all know that for communication to be effective, listen, if you don't know, you're about to know today. In order for us to communicate effectively, two people must talk and listen. One person talks, the other one actively listens. One person listens, the other one actively talks. See, what happens with our communication is one way. Somebody may be talking and we're thinking about our response, especially when we're in a disagreement. We're thinking of how we're going to respond to that person. We don't care about nothing they got to say because we've already made up in our mind through our ego and our pride and our carnality because we ain't praying and fasting. So we ain't got a good hold on it that I need to have a rebuttal to everything they say. Because to own that I'm wrong maybe in this situation or to agree to disagree, I got to have a rebuttal. Let me tell you, I've been disappointed by some people in the last couple of weeks. And some of the conversations have not been favorable. But I refuse to continue to go back and forth to prove a point. I refuse to go into ego and pride and mess up my witness. I am trying to do something great for the Father. And the last thing that I'm going to do is want to stroke my ego and have pride to have the last word. I'm okay with giving up control. I don't care how it makes me look. I don't care how much they feel like they got the victory. When I stand before God, that will not be one conversation that I'd have to answer to. That will be not one thing that the devil can stand before God and accuse me of. The word of God says that the enemy, the accuser, stands before God day and night, accusing the brethren, accusing us of things that we do or do not do. I refuse to give him more ammunition. I refuse. So when we're having two-way communication, we need to practice listening because the stuff that people are saying may be something that we can take, we can reflect upon and make the necessary changes if applicable. And if not, like my friend Felicia says, For His Glory Speaks podcast, shout out boo, For His Glory Speaks podcast with the number 4, listen, she says, eat the meat, throw away the bones. Eat the meat, throw away the bones. Okay? That's what we need to do. But we need to listen. We need to have a two-way conversation with one another. And if we can practice that in the natural, then we can definitely do that in the spirit. And I'm going to need you to check out my girl Felicia while I'm shouting her out. She has a community called Relationship Goals. And what she really does is teaches you relationship with the Father. I love it. She calls him daddy. So she teaches you how to have a true relationship with daddy. And I know that some of us got daddy issues. I raised both my hands. And so I know when I was coming to God because of my daddy issues, because of all the men that did me wrong, I had a problem seeing God as dad. I had a problem seeing God as father because of my male perspective views. It was translated upon God because of my trauma due at the hand of man. That translated onto God. And so I love what she's doing in her community that really encourages us to be able to see God as a father, to be able to see God as a protector, to be able to see God as a provider. Because listen, too many of us has been done wrong by man, but that's not God's heart for us to keep that perspective. And so as we go into two-way communication, one-way communication is a form of dominance. It's a form of control. By one person talking while another listens is not nearly as fulfilling as two-way conversation. One person talking while the other one just listens and has nothing to say is not fulfilling. I know it far too well with my husband. I could be holding a full-blown conversation and he ain't even got one syllable. I have to ask, do you want to buy a vowel? Do you want an I? Oh, are you? For 500, Alex? It ain't fun. So next time you're in a conversation with God, think about, is this a one-way or two-way conversation? Am I praying and then waiting to hear from God and listening? Am I praying and maybe I don't know that I'm confident in hearing the voice of God, so I call a friend to help me out? Am I trying the best of my ability to practice a two-way conversation? Here, I mean, just as it is in the carnal, the same principle is true in relationship with God. We have to communicate effectively with God. For our relationship to grow and be fulfilling, we got to have two-way communication. It has to be. What I see a lot happen is that most believers are far more comfortable with doing all the talking in prayer. I was one of them people. I raised my hand until God gave me strategy on prayer. I would go in and say all these prayers and have this whole dissertation for an hour. And then I'd get up and I'd be out. Our prayers consist of a list of our needs and wants, right? We go in there, Lord, I need this. I want this. Can you give me this? I want that. And then we don't spend no time to listen to what he's got to say at all. So how do we change that? Here's how I changed it. when I go to pray and I know I have things that I need to address or I need to present to God or I need to present on behalf of other people, shout out to my intercessory team, shout out to our Mondays and our Sunday prayer calls. I call it petitions, and it's called that in the Word of God. I write my prayers out, and then based on the need of that prayer, I Google scriptures that line up with my need. And then when I get the scripture, I listen to God, and I've practiced this to a science. I write out prayers based on my need and the scripture, because the Word of God is life. And so any situation that I'm bringing before God, I'm going to speak His Word back to Him. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things with prayer, with supplication and thanksgiving. Supplication is prayer. Make your requests known unto God. Then he says, remind me of your merits and let us contend together. So I remind God of the covenant. I remind God of his word, and I speak his word into my circumstance and my situation. I speak his word into the lives of those who are in need of prayer, because I want to be effective. I want to use strategy. So for me, that is my practical way of communicating with God. And then after I communicate and I release the word and the petitions before God, I sit still. And whatever falls in my mind, whatever I feel impressed upon me, I write it down. And if it aligns with what I've presented to the Father and it's some sort of direction, then I wait to see how do I execute or when do I execute this direction, and I write it down. Shout out to the prayer journal that is soon to come out. It's going to have this amazing journal outline. It's going to give examples of prayers for every situation. It's going to have the layout to teach you how to pray strategically. I'm excited about that. That is to come soon, boo. I'm busy over here. I'm trying to be. I really am. I'm trying to be. Coming soon. So we really need to practice that two-way communication. The Word of God says in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I said that on the last episode, but in order to know his voice, we got to listen. Matthew 4:4 says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This was Jesus gave back to the enemy when he was on a fast, and the devil came after his fast was over trying to fool him, trying to play some foolery and manipulate him to try to give him the very things that he already was coming to take back from the enemy. But he said, we live off of every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, which means we need to hear the voice of God in order to live a fulfilled life. John 3:29 says, he who has the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. So this joy of mine has made me full. John 3:29. To hear the voice of the Father is everything. Last scripture, Isaiah 52:2-3. Listen carefully to me, says God, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. Come on. To hear the voice of God is life. To hear the voice of God, you eat of the good things. Why? Because you have divine direction. It's not hard at all. We see in all of those scriptures that it's evident that God desires to speak in fellowship with us. All of those scriptures I read shows that God wants a relationship with us. He loves to hear our voice. He wants us to love to hear his voice. He loves when we worship. He loves when we praise. He enjoys when we talk to him about our concerns. He enjoys when we talk to him about even our fears, our hopes, and our dreams. He's so eager, and he just desires, and he's attentive to what we want. He so loves us. And so I just want you to be encouraged. That is episode 2, y'all. We got more, a little bit more to go through. So we may finish this little series up. I got my notes. I think we're going to be done, but I may top it off a little bit into the next episode the following week. But, you know, I want you to be encouraged to chase after the voice of God. And if you need further direction, shout out to me via email. It's relationalbreakdowns@gmail.com. I'd love to answer your questions. I'd love to give further insight. I've gotten a few emails which have been so encouraging. People listening, y'all, I'm so excited. I have some calls set up with individuals who want to discuss some things further, and I'm excited about that. Listen, I'm totally open. Not that I'm open to call everybody, and you don't get my direct phone number, but I do have a number that you can access me through. And I'm just excited about that, to be personable while I can, because, you know, when I blow up, I don't know. No, I'm kidding. But while I can, I love to pour into the people of God. I hope that this episode has blessed you. I hope that this series has blessed you. Once again, last episode, I left the link for the Unapologetically Unashamed community. We're still in our 40-day finding your purpose journey, and it's just been a phenomenal journey thus far. Just click on the link from last week, which is in the show notes, and you will gain access to that community. You'll gain access to all of the material that's posted. You can also sign up for the Spiritual Growth Academy waitlist so that you can be one of those who gets in when this semester is up in 3 months. Like, sign up, because people are signing up and everybody ain't getting in. So you better sign up while you can so that you can get in. I'm telling you, this academy is good, good. You not only have a curriculum that builds your foundation of God on the word of God. I mean, you learn faith. You learn how to hear the voice of God. You learn the ministry of Holy Spirit. You learn leadership. You learn how to minister the God of word. There's so much that we're pouring out through this new curriculum that I'm so excited about. And then the other community is the Seer community, where you learn dreams, visions, and interpretation. And yes, you have access to dreams and visions. It is given to everyone. I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and young men shall dream dreams, and old men shall have visions. It goes into this whole dissertation. But what it is saying is that, you know, you're in your young age, or in your young spiritual age, you'll have visions, and in your mature age, you'll have dreams. But we all have access to this, and we are so excited to teach that at the Spiritual Growth Academy. Then we have the School of the Prophet community, that is all things prophetic, words of knowledge and wisdom. That's coming out in August, which will be the second semester, so you'll have time to sign up. That's when we're going to be opening it up to people in the public. So I'm super excited about that opportunity. So check out the wait list. I love you guys. I hope that this has blessed you as much as it, listen, it blessed me just listening to it. So I hope that it has blessed you. Until next week, love you guys. Bye.